We continue our learning. Leland Ishmas, Helen Bas, Leah, Susan Bas, Leah, David Ben Achamusha, Mechem Yaakov, Ben Nichols, Leo, we're in Bavimtsia, Perakes, Mishnah. Hamocher Zesav La'etzim. Person Ruvain sold to Shimon olive trees, but the purpose of the olive trees was not for Shimon to eat the olives, but rather to cut down the wood and use the wood for firewood. This is probably because the olives that are being produced are not so good. And but what the Shimon, who's the buyer, who's the lokeach here, left the trees in the property of Reuven. He didn't uproot the trees. They're growing there, and he's the owner of the trees. Va'asu pachos merivias l'sa. And as expected, they grew olives that weren't producing much at all, and all they produced was actually less than a revius for an entire saw. A saw, a large measure of azasim, 6 kab equal a saw. We mentioned in the past 30 saw equal a core. So here we have in a saw of azasim that volume only a quarter of a lug, very little. That's the amount of wine we drink for kiddush. So that's the amount of oil that was produced. Very little. The Gemara explains not that little. It means you have to take out, of course, minus. It is only revius of a lug if you take away the toil, the hotzos, the money that's spent to harvest them, to press them, etc. Okay, but there's very little that is produced. Hare elu shel bal hazesim. This oil, very little of oil, belongs to the owner of the trees, which is the buyer, the one who bought the trees for firewood, because this is such a little amount, it's so insignificant that the owner of the land, in this case Reuven, the seller, is not makpid on that amount of oil. It's true that all he sold him the trees for the purposes of the wood and not the olives. Nonetheless, it's so insignificant, we let Shimon keep the oil. Also revius l'sah, but if there was enough oil that it produced in the end after the money that was spent on the expenditure of the toilets, whatever it is, it produced a quarter of a lug per sa'a, or certainly more than a quarter of a lug of per sa'a of olives. So then, now the Mishnah says, here's the following, now there's a debate over it. Zelmer, Zesi, Gidlu, Zesai Gidlu. So the buyer says to the seller, listen, these are my trees that produce this amount, and therefore that oil should belong to me. The Zeomer Artsi Gidla. No, it was my land. After all, the trees are growing my land. The oil should belong to me. And therefore, so says the Mishnah Yachloku. They should split the amount of oil that's produced. They should split. Now the Gemara says that the Machlokus here, or this halacha of Yachloku is somewhat limited, which means if the deal was from the beginning that Reuven sold the trees to Shimon Almanas with the stipulation that the trees will be cut immediately, he's going to cut them for wood immediately, then even if it's less than a revius per sa'a, so then that of oil that's produced, that belongs to Reuven. He's a balakarka. Why? Because Reuven was Shimon's plan to cut down the trees right away. And he wasn't planning on getting any oil, even if it's insignificant. So it belongs to the seller. And if the plan was that being sold, that Shimon has every right to cut the trees whenever he wants, it could be a month later, a year later, whatever it is, then even if it produces a revius per sa'ah or more of oil, then that belongs to the Baal HaZeisim, that belongs to the owner of the trees, which is Shimon. Because after all, if you can cut the trees whenever he wants, then the assumption is that any oil that's produced is going to belong to him. The case of the Mishnah is where Reuven sold the trees to him stam. He didn't make any particular Tanai stipulation as to when they're going to be cut. So there the Mishnah is teaching us like this. If it's less than a revius per saw, then it belongs to Shimon, because that's insignificant, the owner of the trees. And if it had produced a revius for per saw more, then they're going to split it. Then the Mishnah says, Shataf Nahar Zesav, Unisanam, Lesoch Stei Chaver. Another case, he had a case where Reuven has trees, and the river came and washed them away, and now they are in the field of Shimon. And they begin to take root there, and they give fruit as well. So now there's a debate: who does the oil belong to? Zeomer, Zesi, Gidlu, Zesai Gidlu. Reuven says these are my trees, and they grew the zeis. And the fact that the trees were uprooted and washed away from his field and now they're in Shimon's field doesn't mean anything. They're my trees. The oil belongs to me. And Shimon says, no, it's my land. That's what, how do you think they grew? Yachloku. Here also they split the oil. The Gemara says, also we need to qualify this machlokus. We're talking about a case where the olive trees were uprooted with clods of dirt that were around their roots. So then they could really live and grow by themselves. They have land already. And that would actually exempt them from the halacha of Orla. Because halacha in Orla, in the first parak Mishnah Gimel, we learn the following. Ilan shenek ha-vasela imo. If you have a tree that's uprooted, but they're literally the rock is with there. Part of what's under the tree surrounding the roots comes along with it. If it could live on its own, so then it's patur from arla, because it's not considered that it is part of the land where it is. It has its original soil. Vimlav, then you're going to be chayv in arla. So the Mishnah is coming to teach us here that same thing here. When only in such a case do Reuven and Shimon split the fruit. So that's when the Mishnah says here Yachloku, it's under those circumstances where part of the Gush HaKarka came along with it. Just to clarify this halacha of Arla, you have a tree that's past the Arla years. It's already been around for more than 3 years already. So that tree is not chayv in Arla. So now what happened? It got washed away. Now it takes root in someone else's field. But what came along with it? Some of the dirt, what we call the Ilan Shenek Arva Hasela Imo, the dirt that came along, the Gush Afa that came along with it. So that's what the Mishnah says. Im Yachol Lichyos, the Mishnah says in Arla in the first parak, a putter. If it's able to live on its own, which means it with the gush afar, with the dirt that it came with, it could really live on its own and grow on its own, then you putter from Arla. What does it mean? It's not considered a new tree. It hasn't taken root in this other person's field in the sense that it's considered a new tree. It's not a new tree. It's able to live on its own from the old dirt. So it's considered a tree past the Arla years. But in Lav, which means if now the only way the tree can live in this new field is because of the dirt of the new field, then it's considered a new, like the tree is planted anew. And if it's planted anew, we have to start counting 3 years, and the halacha of Arla applies. So in what circumstances does our Mishnah apply where we say Reuven and Shimon split the halacha is that they split the value here, the olives or the oil. So that's within the first 3 years from the time that this tree that was washed away from Reuven's field took root in Shimon's field. Even though the karka, the land, belongs to Shimon, and that's the one that grew the peros, nonetheless, had it not been for the gush karka, had it not been for this, the earth, the clods of earth that came along with from the land of Reuven that was uprooted with the trees, Shimon wouldn't be able to eat from the fruit because there would be an Isser Arla on his part. Therefore, they get to split it. But after 3 years, then everything belongs to Shimon because he can say to Reuven, listen, I could have planted these trees, olive trees on my own, and I would have been able to eat from the pears as well because they would no longer be Arla. Shimon, though, would have to pay Reuven for the value of the trees, whatever they would be, if you buy trees in order to plant them, that's what Shimon would have to pay Reuven in these circumstances had it passed the Arla years. The Gemara also says, if let's say Reuven says, listen, I want to take my olive trees out of your field, Shimon, we don't listen to him because of the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. Since Reuven already had olive trees in his field, so obviously he's going to plant more olive trees in his field, because he is used to having them. And that way, we can have double the number of olive trees for Yishev Eretz Yisrael. We'll have the Ilanos in Shimon's field, and Reuven will plant new olive trees in his field because he's used to having them. If we would say that Shimon's going to have to return them, Shimon's not going to plant any trees in their place. And for Yishev Eretz Yisrael, therefore we keep them where they are. Periches Mishnah Vav Hamaskir Bais L'Chaveiro. Our Mishnah till the end of the Perek is going to discuss the halachos of schirus batim, when you rent out houses. So hamaskir bayis lechavero, let's say for a certain amount of money per month, and didn't tell him when he has to leave. So b'imos hagashanim eino yachol lahutzio min hechag v'ara pesach. So here you didn't say you can. It's for 12 months. You didn't say it's for a couple of years. He just said, okay, so you're renting him a house. So now you decide to evict him, so you can't just do that. If it's b'imos hagashanim, if it's the winter months, eino yachol lahutzio min hechag from sukkis, which is where the b'imos hagashanim begin, v'ara pesach. Because it's difficult to find houses, to find the places to live. It's already the winter, people have found places to live. It'd be very difficult for him to find a rental. So therefore, you cannot evict him during that time. You'll say, aye, but we didn't say, didn't give a time frame, so maybe I can evict him after a month. The whole from Chag, from Pesach, from Sukkot, till Pesach, you cannot evict him. B'mos hachama, which means if, let's say, you want to evict him before Pesach, so then, you have to let him know during the summer months, Shloshim Yom, which is 15 days, which is the 15th of Elul, because that's 30 days before Sukkot, which is the beginning of the Imos HaGeshamim. So once again, a person rents a house and you didn't give him, there's no time frame. So you can't get rid of him during from Sukkot till Pesach. So, and if you wanted to get rid of him before Pesach, then you'd have to let him know during the summer months, you have to warn him 30 days before the beginning of the rainy season, which is the 15th of Elul. The 15th of Elul is 15 days before Sukkot. If you let him know 30 days before Sukkot that you plan on evicting him, that he has to leave before Pesach, so that's okay. But if it's past the 15th of Elul, you didn't let him know you want him to leave, so then you can't ask him to leave until Pesach. So that's why the Mishnah is teaching us that if it's the summer, so you cannot get rid of him unless you let him know 30 days before the time you are planning to let him go, which means if it's the winter, you didn't give him 30 days before Sukkot, so then he's there till Pesach, you can't get rid of him. And if it's the summer months, so then you have to give him 30 days. Uvikrachim, the larger cities where everybody's very interested in living there, the bigger cities, it's very difficult to find a dira, to find a place to live there all year. So then, echad yimos hachama v'echad yimos hageshamim shneimos hachodesh. So then, whether it's the summer or the winter, you have to let him know, not 30 days, you have to let him know 12 months in advance before you choose to, you ask him to leave, before you evict him. And the same thing would be true. Not only does the maskir, the one who's renting it out, the landlord, have to inform 12 months in advance before he plans on evicting him, so too the socher has to, if the one who's renting would have to let the maskir let him know, if it's the krachim, the larger cities. So it has to be, you have to let him know 12 months before that you're planning on leaving. And it's ayaros, if it's the smaller cities, you have to let him know 30 days. The person and the landlord also wants to find a tenant. So you have to let him know in advance. And if you didn't let him know in advance, then you can't leave. You can leave, but you're going to have to pay him rent during that time. Uvechanios, let's say you're talking about a store, shopkeeper. So here, people are renting, they need to rent space in order to have their store. So that's where they may need to be there for an extended period of time, because they sell on credit, and people need to know the store is in order for them to pay back on credit. Maybe paying credit months later. So echad ayaros ve'echad krachim shenem asar chodesh. There, even the ayaros, where you have a person is renting a shop for his work, even in a smaller city, you have to let the maskir cannot let him go unless he gives him, he informs him 12 months in advance. That's even in the ayaros. And the krachim, of course, is 12 months always, even if you're not a shopkeeper. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, if it's a store of a baker or people who are dyeing wool, let's say, dyers, the maskir has to let him know 3 years in advance. Why should that be? So the Gemara says, "Mipnei shehekefon meruba." They pay, they charge on credit even for an extended period of time. So it wouldn't be unusual for there to be someone who's not going to pay back for a couple of years. So therefore, you have to let the person know 3 years in advance, because people, they know the address of paying back. You have to let him know so he has time to advertise his new location.
The Erie wonders, is that really true? They give on credit if you're a dyer or a baker more than other people. Is that really true? So then he claims that it's based on a tircha, which means that they need to boil up water, they need an oven, they're using heat, and for all the kalim that they're using in order for them to do their job, both the bakers and the dyers, so it's difficult for them to find the right place. That's what's so difficult. So therefore, to find a space that's appropriate for that type of their line of work may take a long time, and therefore the mosque would have to let them know 3 years in advance.